those who don't know me, my name is, and for visitors, my name is David Eden. I'm one of the elders of the church here. And it's my privilege this morning to bring God's message to you. Not my message, but God's message. So before we do that, I'd just like to pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought each of us here this morning. Not to hear me, not to hear my voice, but to hear your voice. And what you have laid on the heart, my heart, what you have laid on the hearts of the people. We pray at this time that you will open our ears, open our eyes, our minds, our hearts, so that we may see what you have to convey to us, what message you want us to take away from this past year and for this coming year. We ask it in and through the name of your dear Son, Jesus. Amen. Certainly this year has been, to put it mildly, quite an interesting year. There's been a fair bit going on over this past year. Got it. So we've seen over this past year we've had a decline in COVID, even though it's still around. We've also had lots of economic uncertainty. We've had Russia still at war with Ukraine. We've had flooding. We've had bushfires. We've had a referendum. We've had Hamas bomb Israel and kill thousands of people and take hostages. And look at that, Donald Trump is still verbally animated. Oh dear. Anyway, so to look at that reading from today, we're going to look at that reading and look at what Jesus is telling us there. And then I'm going to, firstly, I'm going to go through some areas, which I'll put up in a minute. We're going to look at that. And then finally, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what we can find out from that passage that Alice read this morning from Matthew. So let's continue our journey. There's seven warnings that Jesus is giving us. He says there's going to be others that are going to be claiming Christ. There's going to be wars and nation versus nation. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. There's also going to be persecution. There's going to be a turning of faith and false prophets and gossip. And there's going to be wickedness. I always go back to Ecclesiastes, where Ecclesiastes says, there is nothing new under the sun. And we'll see that in a minute. So what we're going to do is look at these quickly. So the first one we notice there is those claiming to be Christ. There have been thousands of them. Not just a couple, there have been thousands. The first one there, on from the left-hand side, is a fellow by the name of Rhys Evans in the 1600s claimed to be Christ. The next one along is Krishna Venta in the 1800s who claimed to be Christ. Next along, Sun Young Moon in the 1800s. The one down bottom left, for those who are around in that era, Haile Selassie, early 1900s. The next pair, which is interesting, Alan Miller and Mary Luck in 2000 claimed that they were Christ. And finally, the fellow at the bottom, David Shaler, who now claims to be Christ. These are just, as I said, ones of thousands, some of the thousands that have claimed over the time. And they've had followings. Wars and nations versus nations. Currently, when I was putting together this message in early December, there are currently 32 countries in conflict around the world right this minute. The number of wars and deaths has actually been inclining since 1946, since the end of World War II. However, conflict and violence are currently on the rise. The main problem why wars and nation versus nations is religion, followed by governance and politics, and they are the biggest cause of why wars and nations are against nations. The next one, famines. Currently, there are more than 30 million people in 22 countries and territories that are in famine. Conflict, displacement, chronic poverty, food insecurity, natural disasters and climate change are all aspects of why there are famines. Conflict is the number one driver of hunger in the world. And guess what? It is entirely preventable. Having lived in Africa a while, you see it over and over and over again. The country that I lived in for a little while was very, very sustainable. It used to export everything. Now the only thing it exports is terror. Their people are starving. The neighbours next to them are starving. So many are. All preventable. Next, Jesus was saying earthquakes. Pardon me. Japan has the most recorded earthquakes in the world. Over 80% of large earthquakes occur around the Pacific Rim, which is called the Ring of Fire. On any one day around the world, there are literally dozens of earthquakes happening in a 24-hour period. And as I said, when I put this message together in early December, I looked it up, there were 35 earthquakes on that particular day. The biggest earthquake recorded was a magnitude 9.5, 1960, that happened in Chile. The next one Jesus is saying, persecution. One of those countries up there is one of the ones that I lived in for a little while. North Korea, Somalia, Yemen, Eritrea, Libya, Burma, China, Russia, India, Pakistan, Syria and Iran are some of the most dangerous countries in persecution to Christians. I had a son several years ago of mine went to India with a number of others to do some work at a orphanage. And while they were there, they were actually threatened with death. And so the people that they were working for actually had to secret them out to keep them safe. They weren't even preaching the gospel. They were just there helping out in the name of Christ and were still threatened with death. The persecution of Christians can be historically be traced back to the first century Christian era. And of course we know that if you are into any sort of Roman history, then you will know that they loved to persecute Christians. However, they weren't the only ones. There were lots of others as well. By 2050, Islam will be equal to the number of Christians in the world today, if it keeps going the way it's going. 31% of Christians in the world today, 25% Islam. 2021 census here in Australia, 44% identified as Christians in Australia. You'll find, in terms of Christianity, and it's growing currently today, China and sub-Saharan Africa are the fastest growing Christian areas. You see, Jesus warned of all these things. He warned us about them. And there were lots of warnings. If you even go back into some of the epistles, go back into 1 Peter, go into Hebrews, go into Revelation, we can still see that these things are there and the warnings are there. But, as we saw from our list early on, Jesus still gave us more warnings. Turning of faith. If you look at Matthew 7:15, Jesus says about wolves in sheep's clothing. Currently, there are 33,089 Christian denominations in the world today. The only thing I can say to that is, why are we so divided? Australia is a nation of small churches, with 47% of all churches in Australia having less than 50 people in weekly in attendance. Around 11,400 local churches in Australia. The percentage of people belonging to some form of Christianity decreased in the 2016 Australian census from 52.2% down to 43.9%. No religion increased from 30% in 2016 up to 38.9% in the 2021 census. Jesus says, these are just birth pains. These are just birth pains that are being experienced. So let's have a look at some of those. The first thing Jesus tells us is the fact that chill out a bit first. Because there's going to be plenty of bad stuff happening. I've just given you a list of it. On any one day in 2023. And that's been going on for over 2,000 years. That doesn't mean the end is here right now. They are merely the beginning of birth pains. Isaiah 13:8, Jeremiah 6:24 and 22:23, Micah 4:9-10. That's just some of the Old Testament readings that warned us. This is why I'm saying this has been around for millennia. And Jesus gives us the warning that we don't have to suddenly hop on our high horse, and I've heard it ever since Hamas and Israel have had their time, people have jumped on the old war horse. The end is near. It's coming right now. We had it in the year 2000. The clocks were supposed to stop. Aeroplanes were supposed to fall out of the sky. And Jesus was supposed to come there on that day. It was so prevalent that it was getting to the fact of being ridiculous. You know why? We're not reading that. We're not reading that properly. Jesus gives us the words in what we saw today. The next one. Birth pains include the usual things that people interpret as bad omens. Unrest among nations, wars and rumors. Unrest in the earth itself, earthquakes, such as those that destroyed back in AD 60. Colossae, Laodicea. See what I mean? This has been going on. These birth pains have been going on for a considerable amount of time. Next one. Oops. Too far. Where did we go? Here we go. Jesus questions, when you read our Bible, when you read our reading from this morning, Jesus' questions do not deal with the rapture of the church, because that is a separate event. See, what people are doing is they're jumping on the bandwagon, they're taking some of these events, taking them out of context, and going, the end is near. Jesus is about to come. Well, we're told in Revelation, we're told in any number of areas, even within the Old Testament, what's going to happen when Jesus comes. There's going to be the rapture of the church. And if you want to hear a lot more on that, then it was done during the year when Colin gave us a several-part series on it. And so, why are we suddenly jumping on the fact that it's all going to happen just because one thing in history is going on? We're told all the time we are not to add or detract from what the Bible says. We are told that if we add or detract, then really we're being sinful. So why are we doing that? Why are we judging? It's not up to us to judge. If you want, as I said, if you want more prophetic signs, read books such as Revelation, read Daniel, read Isaiah, and many of the other prophetic books. And once you start seeing those, you will see, as Jesus said, these at the moment are nothing more than birth pains. You see, the whole thing is there are no prophetic signs leading to the fulfillment of this event that Jesus is saying. Also, one of the other most important things when you read on from that verses that we saw this morning and were read this morning, when we go on to 24:36, Jesus says, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor Jesus himself, but only the Father knows when Jesus will come again. The Father has not even told his own Son when he is going to send him back. So why are we suddenly the guru and saying that, oh, it's all going to happen tomorrow? If we're saying that, we're adding or detracting from what the Bible says. Matthew 24:42, read on a bit more. Keep watch, because you do not know on what day the Lord will come. As Jesus said in there, you know, if we knew what day a thief was going to break into our house, then we would sit up and wait for them so that we could try and counteract them. We do not know on what day Jesus is going to come back. Not even he knows. I want to read to you now from Matthew 22, verse 37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." The only clear sign we're given of the approaching end is that the gospel message will go out as a testimony to all the peoples of the world. What I just read was the greatest command that Jesus gave us. Go out and tell all people. This is the first and greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. So if you're keen for Christ to return and for everything to be put right, then we need to get out. We need to get up off our seats. And we need to get out and tell people the real message of Christ. Not to be worrying about when Christ is going to come. When I was in ministry, quite a number of years ago, the church was there, and next door was the manse. And because I was in a rural ministry, there were no other houses around, just the church and the manse, and then all around that were paddocks for crops. So anyway, one day there in particular, we're sitting out the front, Diane and I, and having a coffee in the morning, and a car rolls up into the driveway. Okay. It was a Saturday. Two people got out, two people stayed in the car. So a male and a female hopped out. They were from a particular denomination. And the question was to me, are you concerned about the fact of Christ coming? I don't mind a bit of a stir. I said, no, I don't really worry about it at all. Gasp, horror. You must be. Well, after 2 hours, they went away scratching their head. Because I said, why should I worry about Christ's coming? I said, if I have Christ and I'm doing what he wants me to do, why should I be worried about his coming? I know I'm saved. I know, therefore, that I am going to heaven when he does come. Why should I worry? I'm doing the work that he wants me to. No, they couldn't grasp that one. And so, yes, 2 hours later, they went away. Oh, I think I better think about this. But that's the whole point. Why should we be worried about Christ coming again if we're doing what Christ wants us to do now? I want to read another passage for you out of Matthew once again, Matthew 28. He says here, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and this is called the greatest commandment, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Once again, get involved in God's kingdom and the announcement of God's rule as king, particularly to those people groups who are still yet unreached. We still have lots and lots of people in this country outside this door who still do not know of Christ. A number of years ago, Diane and I had an incident down in New South Wales whereby we were in the middle of nowhere. We'd had an accident. We had in the middle of nowhere just by ourselves. And eventually, after 5 hours, the police came and picked us up. On the way back, something was mentioned about the fact of Christ, and the two policemen, who? What? This is Australia. We tend to think, how can people not know in this country anything about Christ? I'm telling you right now, there are people out there who do not know his name. What are we doing about it? Are we looking at the fluff in our navel, or are we getting out and doing something about it? Get involved in the work. I just read the passage for you to tell you to go out and do it. Lastly, do not get worked up about the end being near. As you have seen, that stuff's been going on for years. When I hear of Russia invading Ukraine, or Iran's nuclear program, or the latest on the Israel-Palestine and Hamas situation, there's still yet nothing other than birth pains. That's all they are. If you remain in Christ, if you remain faithful to him, then you will be saved when the end does come, when Christ comes again. When people refuse to submit to law and each person does what they desire in their own eyes, then what we see is moral disaster. We can see it all over the world. I want to ask you in closing at the moment, have you given your life to Christ?
Are you worried about what
is going to happen when you walk out of here? Are you worried about what the new year of 2024 is going to be like? I'm not. I have put a total faith in Christ. And if I have done that, then God will take care of the rest. As I said, if you are here this morning and you have not put your life in His hands, then you need to come and see John, or you need to come and see me, or you need to come and see Phil, who is up here, is another one of the elders here in the church. One of us. Or see someone who you know that comes regularly here. And ask them how you can put your life in Christ's hands. That is what we need to do in 2024. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, as we see in Matthew, Jesus said that there will be all sorts of things in the last days. Over the time, there have been earthquakes, as predicted. There have been famines, as predicted. There have been persecutions, as predicted. And all the different warning signs that Jesus said in the passage from Matthew, they have continued from that time on and can even continue right this very second. And we see all you want from us is to put our hand in yours. All we need to do is say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Christ. Please take me. Take me now. Take my hand. Please lead me along your path." And then we don't have to worry about what's going to happen when we walk out this door. We don't have to worry about all those different things that are happening within our world, which Jesus says are just birth pains. Help us not to be deceived. And we will not be deceived if we look to you and we look to your word. May that be our goal in this new year of 2024. We ask this in and through the dear and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour.